Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Brother Elohim. We are live here at the studio, and this is my first show back for a minute. I think I had one of the clocks that are wrong. I have to change the clock. Give me a second here. Yeah. The time is now 3 o'clock on the nose. Something like that. Nope. 3 o'clock. Nope. It's 4 o'clock. Take this down here. Bear with me for a minute. I'm setting my clock off here. Want to get that right. Okay. Okay, now we're back on the air. We're on the air right now. This is Elohim, and the topic for today is slavery, and what is slavery, and why are you still a slave? But the first thing we'd like to talk about when we do talk is, let's see, it's not working. Yeah, what we'd like to talk about is how, we like to talk about love. Now, you know, love is our favorite topic, so we like to get into that all the time and deal with what's going on. I don't know if you can hear this conversation or not, because personally, I keep going on here. at any rate, we're talking about love, love is, and what love is. We always talk about love. Love is the act that makes us feel good. So that's the number one thing that we deal with. We deal with love. And what love is, and what we're, and why so many of us don't have love the way we should have love. Now, the we're on the air live, but I can't seem to hear me. The first show back after a while, and already I'm having problems. So let's plug in my earphones here. If that will work. Okay. Okay, I'm on the air. Everything seems to be working. We seem to be set up properly here. I still can't hear me. And that's a problem. Okay. this is very interesting. Well, we're going to run the show. And because right now we're live on the air, even though I can't hear myself for some reason. I don't know exactly what the problem is here. This is my first show back after months, at least 6 or 7 months. Being off the air, and slightly back on the air, chit-chatting with everybody, letting everybody know what's going on who's who, and what's what. If you have trouble getting on, or if you can't hear, or something seems to be a problem, you can call me at 215-568-1703, and I can click on to that number. And see what's going on so we can have a little, so I can get an update on what's going on out in the listening audience. Okay, that's the first day back. So we're talking about love. And most of us don't know how to love, don't know what love is. So that's why we always talk about love whenever we have a broadcast, and we're right back here again. Now, today's topic is slavery. What is slavery? And why are you still a slave? Now, that's a very interesting topic. Now, I'm going to give you a slightly different thought process on that. We're going to think about that just a little bit different than what you're normally used to thinking about in terms of slavery, what it is and what's going on. You know, I still can't seem to hear. Okay, we'll put the speakers on. still can't seem to hear me, and I don't know if anybody else can hear me, because all of a sudden something seems to be wrong with the board. But it's the first show. So those of you, if y'all listening out there, bear with whatever's going on. We're going to talk for half an hour. Then I'm going to open up the mics. So if you want to chime in, you can chime in and listen to what's going on, okay? Now, let's live with the dictionary definition of slavery. Bondage, serfdom, thraldom, that's thraldom, that's a new word for me, thraldom. It means the same as servitude and bondage. And the custom of owning another. Now, what is slavery? Slavery is control. So they're not telling you. Slavery is control, but what are you controlling? See, you're controlling the physical aspect of things, because as divine beings, we have dominion over, okay? We have dominion over the physical realm. So that's what's going on. Since we have dominion over the physical realm, we can manipulate the physical realm. So this is what we're putting into slavery. The physical part of ourselves is what the slave master seeks to enslave. Now, how is he doing this, and what makes him think that you're going to go along with slavery, and what gives him the right to even put a person in slavery and make a slave out of a person? Well, there's something that the 1% know and understand that you don't know and understand. Now, for some reason, I can't hear me, and the board is acting crazy. This is the first show back in 3 months. Everything, it shows normal, but I'm not getting a normal reaction from the board, okay? So if you can hear me out there, those of you who are calling in, you can push 1, and I'll open your mic up and see if what's going on. If you can hear me, you can dial me on the other number at 215-758-1703 if you can't hear me at all, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a different thought process. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. When I give my shows, it's not a question of being right or wrong. It's just a question of something to think about. You know, Senator Hall used to do that. Something to think about. So what we want to do with slavery today is just give you something to think about in reference to these topics, what they are, and how they're functioning, you know. Now, the physical body, the physical realm, is you're in control of the physical realm. This is energy, source energy. You're able to manipulate this energy to turn it into whatever you want. That's what makes you God. And, oh, Lord, here we go with the man is God thing. But think about it for a second. Everything in the solar system was designed to protect what? To protect you. On this planet, everything was designed to benefit man. You look at all the stuff out there, and if you got a god up there sitting on a hot chair looking down on everybody, this doesn't benefit him. This doesn't benefit that god. It only benefits you, you know? So we're talking about control. So you have control over all of this stuff, you know? And that's what's so important about you. And that's why you're so special. Yes, you're special. Each and every human being on the planet is a special person. We all have our attributes. We have our good things that we work on. And a lot of things that we're missing is because people have been telling us that we can't do this, we can't do that, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do this. I'm going to check something out. Give me a moment for a minute, because I can't seem to... Something's wrong here. I can't seem to put my finger on it. I don't know if everything is open and I'm off the net, but I'm going to check things out myself just to see. Six, Oh boy. They crossed my episode. I'm getting the wrong show here. They got me set up on the wrong show because I had Will.i.am broadcasting from this network for a while. And instead of them taking me to my network, which is the new network, they have sent me to unbelievable. Let's do this again. 267. I'm still having trouble hearing myself, which is a problem. And this first episode is usually kind of weird, but we're going to keep broadcasting. And those of you who can hear, I'm going to start opening up a couple of these mics. So if you can hear me, just say something. I've opened up some mics here. So if you can hear what I'm saying, just give me a shout out. Because I can't seem to hear. I can't seem to hear myself, you know. So I'm going to keep broadcasting and... like I said, if you can hear me, give me a shout out. Because I'm broadcasting, I can't seem to hear myself, you know? Which is weird. So your mics are open. And so I'm going to keep broadcasting.
Hi, brother. You are coming through. You are coming through. There's a little bit of noise, but you're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, because I can't, I mean, I can hear you, but I can't hear me. This is weird. well, thank you, Brother Mac. I appreciate the shout out. So I'm going to keep rolling with the thought process here. Because when I stopped to call into the show, I got Brother Will.i.am's show instead of my show. So I don't know if other people are having the same problem, but I'll straighten it out. Because remember, I had Will.i.am on my network for about 6 months. So we'll see what happens. So I'm gonna, now that I know that I'm being heard out there, I'm gonna keep going. Now we're talking about slavery, and we went through the dictionary definition, but I'm going to give you a different thought process, something different to think about, you know. And the thought process is that the physical realm is here for us to dominate. We have dominion over the physical realm, which means that your physical body is being controlled by something, being controlled. I don't want to say someone. Now, those of you who believe in the spiritual realm, those of you who believe that there's something going on after we die, that we go someplace or we do something different, that means that there's something controlling the physical, your physical body. Now, that puts us into, and this is something that the 1% understand, the 1% know, but we are not getting this information. The 1% understand that you cannot, this is going to hit some of you a little weird, you cannot not be a slave. The physical realm, your physical body, is a slave, and it's going to always be a slave. The question is, who's going to be its slave master? The 1% wants you to give them the authority to assume the position of slave master over your physical. That's what's going on. Right now, you are the master of your physical body. That body will do whatever you tell it to do. In a lot of cases, we allow the slave to tell us what to do. Like, we know we're not supposed to have certain food. No, we're not supposed to eat certain things. But we get those cravings. The slave is saying, hey, man, I want my pork chops, you know. And you know you're not supposed to have that stuff, but you go and get it anyway. But you can tell a slave, No, you're not going to get those chops today. You're going to get lettuce and greens and vegetables today. And the slave don't have no choice. Your physical body will have to acquiesce to whatever you want it to do. Now, when you go to work, you're allowing someone to assume the position of slave master over your physical. It's for 8 hours. Whatever the boss tell you, you jump, you run and go do it, you do this, you do that. And now, like I said, the mics are open. If you can't hear me, just say something. So Mac already told me that I'm coming through loud and clear out there, but I still can't hear me. I mean, I know I'm talking because I'm talking. I hear myself talking. So what I'm attempting to do today, to give you a different way of thinking about the same thing that they've been giving you all of your life, okay? You are definitely, and you always will be, in a slave-master relationship. You can't get around that because the physical body is going to always be a slave listening to that conscious entity that dwells within it, what you call a spirit or soul or so many things, so many different names you give it. But that's what controls the physical. So you're going to always be in a slave-master relationship. But what you have to do is take control, okay, over the slave. Now, the TV programming, you're being programmed from the time you come out your mama's womb to allow somebody else to become the master of your slave. That's what this is all about, you know, because they have us thinking one way, but actually something else is going on. So you cannot ever not be a slave. The question is, who's controlling the slave? You see what I'm saying? When you put poison in your body and take drugs and all that kind of stuff, you begin to allow the slave to control you because the cravings become so great that you acquiesce to the pain and to the hurt of the withdrawals and stuff. You say, well, I'm gonna give it just one more hit. You know what I mean? Make the slave feel better. But you are the master of your body. And whatever that body's doing, you have dominion over it. Every religious book tells you that. You're vicegerent. You have dominion over the physical. They all tell you this thing. But we don't think about it in a certain way. You can take that body. Somebody can cut the fingers off, pull the toenails out, trying to get information. But you as the master, if you say, hey, I'm not telling you nothing, they can do whatever they want to that body. You won't give up the information at all. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody can make the master acquiesce if the master don't want to acquiesce. You are the master of that body. So you're going to always be in a slave-master relationship. So when that slave don't want to get out of bed, hey, tell him, get up. Get your butt up and do what I tell you to do. Because the slave actually has to do what you tell her to do. You can literally work that physical body to death if you so choose to. That's how much control you have over the physical body. So you're going to always be in a slave-master relationship. Now, the trick that the 1% is pulling, they want to be in a position, okay, to force that conscious being to turn that slave over to them. Now, how are they doing that? They're using the barter system. I mean, if you don't get money to buy food, to eat, you'd be amazed what a person will have that slave do if that slave is hungry and you're broke and can't feed that slave. You know what I mean? You'd be amazed at what that conscious person will make the slave do. It's absolutely amazing what's going on, because you're not thinking in terms of the slave master relationship. You're not thinking in terms of that, because you're, well, I don't want to be no slave. You're going to always be a slave. You cannot not be a slave. When they tricked you on your birth certificate, you know, we're getting into a little straw man thing here. You know, those of you who haven't read the straw man, go Google it and read that particular document, and you'll be amazed at what you'll learn. But they tricked your parents and turned the control over the physical to them. They have been tricking all of us all this time because we don't understand what the slave master relationship is all about. You are the master of the entire physical realm. There's nothing in this physical realm that you cannot take control over. Once you understand, like the Bible, the Quran, and all the other books say, you're the vicegerent. You have dominion over the planet. You have dominion over everything. See what I'm saying? So a lot of us have been going through a mental thing in reference to who's superior, who's not superior. Whenever you think that any God on the planet is not equal to you, that's when you slip. That's when somebody will put their foot on your neck, you know? When you think that you're so superior to somebody else, bam. That puts you in a vulnerable position because we are extensions. We are actually the universe expanding, okay? And we're going to get into that in a minute. My computer is trying to shut down on me here. Let's see if we can get it. There we go. Yeah, you are actually the universe expanding. So that means that you're unlimited. There's no limit to what you can do. That's why what you do yesterday, you can do better tomorrow. You are an unlimited entity, an unlimited being. And you'll work on this physical realm through the physical body. That's how you're working. That's what you're doing. Now, we're going to talk about the peace for a minute, okay? Now, they have a whole lot of definitions for the term peace, okay? We're going to do that, and then I'm going to open up the mics, and then we can have a little cross-talk and a chit-chat for a minute. The dictionary say peace, freedom from strife, or any freedom from strife of any kind, harmony, concord, enemy, public quiet, order, security, freedom from war. Now, that's very interesting. Now, remember that, freedom from war, an agreement between enemies to end war, okay? Quiet, calm, stillness, at peace, not in a state of war, all right? Why don't we have peace in our communities, okay? For one reason, we don't know what peace is. The dictionary always gives us multiple definitions, but it comes down to one thing. Peace is an act of war against war. How are you going to have peace if somebody can run in your house and take what you have when they feel like it? You don't have no security. See what I'm saying? When they sign that peace treaty, peace is a war of attrition. Now that's what starts the arms race. Because when you make peace with somebody, what you're telling them is that as soon as I get my military together, I'm going to take what you have. That's what you're saying, you know? So they have to get their military together. They have to get, each side have to get their military together. They got the arms race. Peace can only happen when there's a balance of power. If there's no balance of power, you're never going to be able to have peace. Because remember, peace is an act of war against war. It's a war of attrition. That's what peace is. And now we're talking about the black community, okay? What is peace and why don't you have it? That's the question. You see what I'm saying? Where's your military? What do you have control? A SWAT team came to your house right now, knocked on the door. Yo, open up. Who are you going to call? You can't call the Ghostbusters. They ain't coming. You know what I mean? You have to... See, once you realize what's going on, you have to develop some type of security mindset, and this is what we have not been doing. Everybody, every man, woman, every man and woman that live in this country should have a pistol in their house, have some kind of weapon in their house, okay? If you don't, because you have to have some type of security. Somebody come in your house and start attempting to rip you off and take what you have, by the time the popo get here, they done killed you, took your stuff and gone, you know? Their primary concern when they come in your house is to be worried about you and what you going to do. Now, if somebody come in my house, they're going to have to call the police to get out because I'm not calling the popo. They're going to have to call the police to get out of my house. They come in my house and take anything. You see what I'm saying? You have to think in terms of security. And as a community, we call ourselves a community, but that's that's stretching it kind of bit, you know. But as a community, we have to think in terms of how are we going to fight those who want to turn our physical, who want to take control over our slave. You know what I'm saying? They did it before. They'll do it again. And they're working on it right now. You look at the FEMA camps. They start searching what's going on. I think they have a declared martial law in one of these cities or something like that there. We can talk about that too. But you don't have peace because you don't have control over the military. You don't have no control over the military whatsoever. They can shut you down whenever they feel like it. Whatever you're doing, they can shut it down whenever they feel like it. You know what I mean? And as a black, as a person in the black community, I've been through some of the things that they have done in reference to shutting down groups that they disagree with. You know what I'm saying? Go check your history, all right? All the way back as far as Nat Turner, all the way through, okay? Once you get to a point that they disagree, they're coming, and they're going to shut you down. They're Black Panther. They did the same thing to the MOVE members. They attacked the Nation of Islam. They, Muhammad Ali. This is what they do. If they don't like what you're doing, if what you're doing going against them in a certain way, they're coming to shut you down. And if you think that you're at peace and you're not building a military, you're living in the dream world. You're living in the dream cycle, okay? So now, if you have any, we're halfway through the hour. So halfway through the hour, I'd like to open for any comments, or if you have any questions, or if you have anything to say about what we're talking about. If you have a comment, don't have nothing to do when we talk about it. If you have a group or something like that there and you want to talk about your group, that'll be fine too. Your mics are open, so you can just chime in if you have something to say. So the questions on the board, slavery, what is it, and why we're still slaves. Peace, what is it, and why we don't have it. That's the topic for today. So, okay. So the mics are open. So anybody want to jump in, just jump in, okay? So I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep
going.
All
right, Brother Yuhim, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Regarding, I have a quick, my question is in reference to is in reference to peace and its definitions. If we're using a term that has multiple definitions, but we have been conditioned to look at only one or two of those definitions, doesn't that kind of put a limit on whether or not we actually have it, whether it be peace or conflict? If we look at peace as the absence of war, we might have it. However, if we apply some of the other definitions, such as the absence of conflict and stress of any kind, we don't have that. Can you speak on that?
Well, see, the way they set the dictionary up with the multiple answers is by design, because without a strong security, none of those other things are possible. That's the whole point. See, and they understand that, and they give you the illusion that you can have peace without security, you know, that you can have tranquility and peace of mind without the conflict that's going on all over the planet. But that's not true. If you cut the TV on, there's no peace in the world on the planet, you know. And the only ones that have peace are the ones that's sitting on top of the military, because they know if you push them too far, they can come in and shut you down, and ain't nothing you can do about it. So they have peace. They have peace of mind. But you don't have peace of mind. What you have is an illusion, fostered by the 1%, to make you think that everything's okay, but it's not, because you got strikes in the school system. You got strike for, or on, in the sports arenas. You got strike. The whole thing is based on strife and conflict, because as long as you're in strife and conflict, this gives you the illusion of having peace based on their authority to come in and control the situation. So you're functioning under illusion. Until you can pick up the phone and call somebody with tanks and planes and all that to come and rescue or to come and help you out of your plight, whenever the strife takes place, you have to go outside yourself to resolve it. So you never have peace. Because you're worried. Because the parents worry about the children. What's going to happen to my child while they're out there riding around in this car? You know, because you're not in control of the police department. Your job is to pull up by a cop and ain't done a doggone thing and get shot down just like that. And you have no control over it. So what you do? You go pick it. You know, you put up signs, you know. And the signs don't work. You know, the signs don't work. I mean, when I come out of service, I didn't pick up nobody, you know. Did that help your thought process? But not?
Yes. All right. So would peace be prevailing if you gave up? And let's see, using the definition of the absence of war and conflict, if theoretically, if you were to surrender to the slave master and put up no struggle, would that in effect be a situation of peace?
Well, it can't be, because you've allowed someone to take control over your slave. So at any time, that person will do whatever they want. How can you have peace not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring? Not knowing whether they're going to cut your head off or not, or whip you, or chain you up, or take your children from you, or send them to different places. When we think in terms of our sojourn as slaves here in this particular country, how could the slave have peace? After a while, as you watch Roots, after a while, Toby gave up. But Toby wasn't at peace. He had no peace. Because he was in a position that he really didn't want to be. He's forced in that position because of the children, because of the things that's going around him, you know. But you don't have no peace of mind, you know. Peace comes from control.
Okay, so that was sort of... suggest that the state of mind is maybe more of a determinant as to whether you have peace than the lack of physical conflict.
Well, sure, because the mind is the master, and if the master's not happy, nothing's happy. You know what I mean? The mind is the master, and the mind is what controls the slave. So if the mind is out of whack, the slave is doing some strange things out there, you know, because the mind of the master has no peace. Well, peace stimulates from the spiritual side, not from the actual physical side, you know. And so since you are a master, you are in control. And when you lose control or you're forced to give up your control, the master has no peace. He never had peace, you know. Now, everything will seem quiet because the master that you allowed to take over your slave, you know, he's not beating and whipping you no more because you're doing everything he's telling you, you know. So you're a little more comfortable, but you're not at peace. There's no peace, you know. Can you be at peace with somebody totally in control of your physical?
Well, you're right. You might have the absence of physical contact, but you could be in total turmoil if you are aware that you don't have control over your environment or even over your physical form.
Absolutely. And that's why I ran them both together, slavery and peace, because they sort of coexist together, you know? If you are the slave master, physical realm is the slave, see? The only time you're going to have peace is when you're in control of the slave. Once you lose control of the slave, the master has no peace, because the slave in this physical realm is what does the work to take the master to the next, to the levels that he want to go to, you know? The master want to build the plane. He has to rely on the slave to do the work. If the master want to build a house, he has to rely on the slave. He has to rely on that physical body to do the work. Now, if you're trying to build a plane and somebody got you off building boats so that they can go to war to take over somebody else's slave, you know, you're not at peace, because you know that's not what you would rather. You really would rather not be there building that boat, you know. But because of the barter system, many of us are forced into situations that we really don't like. That's why so many people are working jobs and they hate the jobs that they're working, but they don't have no choice. They need that money. They got to pay the electric bill, the gas bill, feed the children. So they don't have no choice. So they are forced to allow. And I use the term allow very vehemently, because you have to allow somebody to take over your physical because nobody can force you to do anything. Nobody. If you don't allow, I mean, they would have to kill you and bury you if you decide, I'm just not going to do it, you know? Because kind of by the force you ask, you can't force the master to be a slave. The master has to decide, well, since I'm here, it might be in my best interest to go ahead and live as a slave for a while until I can see a better way out of this. So sometimes you acquiesce for a better position in the future. And that's what we did here. We submitted to the slavery, hoping that there would be a better chance in the future that we might be able to break away. But you got to remember, when blacks ruled Britain, it took them 800 years to come out of black rule. And that's what's going on right now. They do not want to be ruled by blacks again. And this is what their argument is about. It took us a long time to get out from under your rule, and we're not going back under it again. And we don't want to be under their rule, but we have grown compassionate. And we just don't want to walk around killing everybody to make that happen, you know? So we backed down, we waited a little bit, and said, well, let's see if there's a better position in the future. And this is what our ancestors did. They said, well, let's just chill and see what happens later, you know? Now, we only have about 15 minutes here. The next thing that I have on the table here is what's so great about the Bible? Oh, boy. I've been on a lot of talk shows, and they talk about that Bible like a dog. Some of them, they say, I don't read it. One of our great scholars, Joseph Yachinen, he said, hey, if I'm in the bathroom and I run out of toilet paper and the Bible's there, I'm going to use it. I mean, this is what he said. It was funny when he said it, but, I mean, you know, to have such little respect for a book that's so powerful, it just means that they don't know how to read it. See, now, when you go into that book, you have to read it from a divine perspective. You have to go and get information directly from Source, and Source will guide you and give you the true meaning of what's going on in there. Just like the Bible is one of the few books that actually tells you how to set up a military complex, you know? We talk about Ma'at and Quran and all those books, but they don't tell you that, you know? Naturally, other people will be calling me at this time. Maybe they can't get through or something on the line. But I can't click over because I have the, well, I have to talk to them later on after the show and find out what happened. But I do have people calling me, so they might not be able to get through. That's why I want people to call me and check in and see what's going on. But where we are? Oh, yeah. But very few books will teach you how to set up a military complex. Now, we deal with Abraham, right? Now, it was just Abraham and his nephew. Just Abraham and his nephew that started off, right? When they came and took Lot, he took his army and went and rescued him. Ask yourself the question, where'd that army come from? How did he develop that army? You know what I'm saying? This guy, and he went and he defeated the people that took him and got his nephew back. You see what I'm saying? So from the sojourn with just him and a cousin, all of a sudden he showed up with an army. How did he do that? It goes back to the African culture and what they're teaching. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, where's the village at? The village is not just your, see, the one percenters. They want us to say mama, papa, baby, okay? And a couple cousins. That's it. That's as far as we go. But that's not where your army comes from. Your army comes from reaching out into the entire diaspora. Can you imagine, right, Brother Mac, you've been around here for a few minutes. Can you imagine if you have access to every relative of yours on the planet? How big, how large would that group be?
That would be a formidable force, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. And if you organize, we're talking about organized force. If you organize that force, you would be able to do exactly what the 1%ers are doing. Most of their children are running government, mayors, governors. You check Obama's history, okay, and check his lineage. He's kin to Cheney, Bush, all the elites who are running government. This is family. This is where your army comes from. This is how you build an army. You know what I'm saying? You have to reach out to your relatives. Now, they got us so convoluted and so messed up. If you reach out as a Christian, you got a problem with the Muslims. Reach out Muslim. So what we've done, right, I'm giving up information, right? It's 2018, so we're letting everything go now. What we have done, we've started a family birthday club. So everybody in the diaspora, we have them reaching to family and friends. We have them reaching into their diaspora to bring their children, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, their grandma into a particular day to have a birthday party. This, at this particular point, that starts to build the village. That starts to bring the village together to have fun, other than birthdays and weddings. Not birthdays and weddings, but funerals and weddings. That's when we've been getting together mostly. So we have started this, and we're reaching into our friends, reaching into our family, and it's beginning to build, you know? And believe it or not, when enough people get together, it don't cost a lot to do anything. The way the whole thing is set up, you bring $15 and a plate of food. That's all you have to do to have a birthday party. Where are you going to have a birthday party for $15? You see what I'm saying? And then you get to see everybody. You get to meet everybody. And this is a beginning to bring the village together. Now, those of you who are listening that are not in this particular city, you can start this in your own city. Start it in your own town. But start reaching to your entire diaspora. Say now, I have friends. My friends are coming to the birthday party. My family's coming to the birthday party, and it's starting to do what it's supposed to do, you know. And from that, those children that have businesses, now they have. They're beginning to. Now they're developing a huge group of clients. You know, now their family and friends becomes their clients. You know. So it turns into a business venture. So that's one way to begin, you know, but we have to begin. And those of you who are listening who are from Philadelphia, you know, if you want to be a part of what we're trying to do, if you want to be a part of bringing a village together so that we can create some type of economic structure, at least we can find out what's wrong with you and what problems you have, you know. Just talking to people sometimes might be able to help you solve some of the problems that you have, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know. And then when you bring your children in, your children have access to the other children. And now they're talking to people who are in their peers that don't mean them no harm. that don't, that's not trying to use, abuse, or take advantage of them, you know? They can come in and chit chat and talk. And it's starting to make a difference. So that's what's so great. That's just one thing. My phone is, can you still hear me out there, Brother Mac? My phone is acting crazy. That Bible is a very, very powerful book. Yeah, Bible is a very powerful book. And what are your comments? If you have any comments about the Bible, you know, chime in.
I have a question, Brother Elohim, regarding the Bible. Considering that it has been given to us as a guide and as a source of hope, and we have come to rely on it, even though as you just said. If I understood you correctly, you were saying we don't know how to use it, which would mean we don't really know how to read it, or when we read it, as we do, it may be actually to our disadvantage, because I think in all too many instances, when we read the Bible, we don't see ourselves in there. Except in a position of servitude, and particularly the story of Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the references that were made as to Ham being cursed and that Ham's children, or the descendants of Ham, are us, or people who look like us. Can you speak on that? What I can see is that when we look at the Bible as the ultimate authority, and we see ourselves only in a position of servitude. We could almost consider that we are sentencing ourselves to be serving a sentence that was placed on Noah's son Ham, and I've even heard of preachers admitting or even trying to prove. That we sons of Ham are supposed to be servants. Can you speak on that?
Sure. See, they don't know who they are. See,
right.
Once you realize who you are, how can the slave not be a servant to the master? You see, that's what we talked about earlier. See, if you know that the physical body is the slave, the physical body is always going to be a servant. Period. The question is, who's controlling the servant? Who's controlling the slave? That's what it's all about. So it didn't say anything wrong. It's just that we don't understand the difference between the servant, which is the physical, and the master, which is the spiritual and the conscious. So that's why they're taking it out of context. See, it's out of context because they don't know who they are. They don't know that we're constantly in a slave-master relationship. And as a master, the physical is always going to be a servant. It's just a question of who he's going to serve. So it's not a curse, it's a reality. You see what I'm saying? That the physical body is always going to be a servant. You see what I'm saying? So that's not a curse. That's a reality. If you understand the slave-master relationship. Now, I've opened up all the mics, okay? So anybody want to jump in, just jump in if you got to say something. But right now I want to stop for a second and give Mac a chance to announce his show, which comes on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Mac, do you want to give them some information about your show?
Oh, thank you, Brother Elohim.
Everybody got time.
I am known as Brother Mac, and my co-host, who is Sun 752, hosts a show titled Legacy of a Nation. And each Saturday, rain, shine, sleet, or snow, we come on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And our mission is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And when we refer to the Aboriginal community, we are talking about us, we black and brown people who are descendants of slaves. And we cover over the course of the month, for an hour each week, we talk among ourselves, about ourselves, and to ourselves, discussing four main topics. And the four main topics that we cover are health, one, history, two, politics, three, and economics, four, is we feel that these four areas are tantamount to our coming to an understanding of who we are and how we got to be the way that we are as a nation of people who are 50 million strong, but unaware of who we are by way of our ancestry. And so you can call in at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the number to call is 319-527-6199. That's 319-527-6199. That's Legacy of a Nation. And it's an interactive show whereby once you call in and you are on the switchboard, if you want to become a part of if you want to be a part of the conversation, you would press the one on your phone, and that would let us know in the studio that you have your hand up, and we would identify you only by the last four numbers of your telephone number. So being anonymous, you can say what you need to say. You can ask the questions that you may not be able to ask anywhere else. And you have the advantage of anonymity. Nobody knows who you are unless you want to tell them. And at the same time, okay, if you have a product or a service that you would like for my listeners to know about, then you can promote yourself on my show openly and without cost. Thank you, Brother Elohim, for that privilege.
You're quite welcome. Those of you who are just chiming in, I see a couple of numbers just chiming in here. We have been through, just get brief synopsis of some of the stuff we went through. We went through slavery and why you're still a slave. We went through peace and why we don't have it. And also, right now we asked the question, what's so great about the Bible? And we attempted to answer some of those questions why the Bible is so great. Now, I'm going to throw another thing out there. Here's a question. Who is the real King James of the Bible? You know, because certain things, the reason why I like throwing things in there about the Bible is because, in my mind, I've read so many books. You know, I've been on the planet for a minute. I've read so many books. And that Bible is one of the most powerful books that I've read, okay? So now, the question was, who was the real King James of the Bible? To show you how tricky this European is, or the 1%, I can't say the European, because 1% comes in all colors. To show you how tricky the 1% is. Now, we ruled Ireland. There was a black king of Ireland, okay? He was King James. He was the sixth king of Ireland, King James. And he was the first king of Ireland to rule Britain. Now, they had a King James in Britain. He was one of the first King James of Britain, but he was British. Now, this is the guy that they throw up at us as the guy dealing with the Bible, who was a homosexual and all that stuff, but the black guy wasn't. So they flipped the script So we don't know who's actually bringing the information to us, you know. It's just a little tidbit. You can go and Google that information up and find it out for yourself to show you. Just do that in there to show you how tricky the misinformation is, you see. Because they had me thinking that King James was homosexual, yada, yada, you know, the white boy, but that wasn't the King James in the Bible. You see, that was a British King James, but it wasn't the guy that authorized the Bible. So the whole thing is kind of interesting. And now the next thing that I want to throw out there is what type of government did the Lemurians have? Because we're actually descendants of Lemurians coming off world, okay? Now, I want to make another statement here that you might not be familiar with, but no modern man or woman is indigenous to this planet, okay? Now, the question is, who are the people that are indigenous to the planet? Yeah, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, these are the names that they gave these people. That's not who they actually are. But these are the names that get their indigenous to the planet. If you really check the blood type, when you're going back to Lucy and all those ancient bones, they're not really from modern man. Okay, they're from the actual indigenous people on the planet. This is why we have such a thirst and a drive to get back out in space. Because we're from out there, you know. You know, it's just I just want to throw these little comments out there, and then we can talk about them for I guess we got about 10 minutes left, you know. Then we say, well, who are the five tribes of the planet? Black, brown, red, yellow, white. Those are the five tribes of the planet, and we're literally supposed to be working together. Okay, now I just went through who was the actual indigenous people of the planet, so. If you have a comment or question about that, you can bring it up as well. you have to remember that Britain was ruled by black people for 800 years. And it took them that long to get out from under your rule, see? So leaders have a tendency to want to rule. And very leaders don't have many friends because their friends are all ones. The only friends that they have are followers, loyal followers. That's what they're looking for. If you're not a loyal follower of theirs, then they kind of like push you to the curb. You see what I'm saying? Right. So this is why we're setting up a system that's a non-leadership-based system, where the people themselves come together and decide what to do. You don't vote on an individual or person to tell you how to run your life. Who knows more about what you need in your house than you do? You see, that's what's going on. So why not allow you to speak on what you need in your house and to make decisions about what you need in your house rather than vote for somebody that might not necessarily have your best interest at heart? We got about 2 minutes left. So, Matt, if you want to chime in and say anything, or some of the other callers that are on the line, and if you want to make a comment or something, you can jump in make a quick comment.
I do have another question, Brother Elohim, with the short time remaining. And,
yeah,
and
we got about 90 seconds.
The question is, why has it been kept more or less a secret from our public school system that Britain was once ruled by black people, while we know that before Columbus sailed in 1492, that Spain had been ruled for 700 years by black people and had just been expelled when Columbus sailed, before Columbus sailed. And then they came over and we black people have been suffering.
We got about 30 seconds. Let me jump in for the last 30 seconds. We had a global government, the Americas was part of that global government, okay? Now, what you need to do is, if you get a chance, go purchase this book that was turned on me by Will I Am. It's called When Rocks Cry Out. Go buy that book, and he gives you a pretty good, better understanding of why and what was going on during that particular period of time. And why they don't want you to know that you were masters of the planet at one time. Because they don't want you to get that idea in your head, okay? All right, so we're out of time. Those that called in, thank you. And Brother Matt, thank you for the comments. And those who were on the air and didn't say anything, I appreciate you chiming in. And we'll be here next Sunday, same time, 3 o'clock, with some pertinent information or at least some different ways of thinking about things, okay? So I'd like to say I love you. And remember, love is the act that makes others feel good. Much love.
Much love.